This is the John Richardson Show
with John Richardson.
Hello and welcome to the John Richardson Show podcast with Angela Barnes.
Hello. Oh, that was nice, John.
Yeah, I'm getting into singing now. I'm going to get an album out.
Beautiful.
By
Christmas. It makes a change from, you know, writing children's books. That's what most comedians do.
Yeah, oh, I tell you what, Angela, we're going to have a lovely little chat about that off air.
Oh.
I tell you what, I've got some opinions on that that I don't want putting in
have.
A public forum.
Lovely.
Anyway, we don't discuss children's literature. We do discuss literature today.
We do.
Stolen books.
Yes.
Crimes.
Long-term borrowed books, John.
Theft, call it what it is. It's a theft with an exciting reveal. I tell you what, if today's show was a Netflix drama, there'd be a point at which it breaks and then people go, oh no, you can't leave it there.
Yeah, absolutely.
During a call about a lost library book. And then when I say that, you realise that that's why it's not going to be made into a Netflix drama. So that's the sort of stuff we talk about. Fishing books from the 1980s. We had a right laugh, the literal police in full swing. Enjoy.
Yep. Get John Richardson on.
John Richardson.
This is the John Richardson Show.
So good morning. Welcome along. It's John Richardson here, joined by the wonderful Angela Barnes.
Good morning, John.
Welcome back. Two in a row. And we saw each other in the week as well.
I know. That's a lot of Barnes. Are you all right?
It is becoming a thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
I was going to ask if it's causing problems at home, but without teasing the listener, without titillating too early, we might be hearing from your husband this week, no?
What?
Oh, yeah. So let's clear up the unfinished business from last week. Perhaps not the cleanest show on the radio, but certainly the tidiest. If you didn't hear the show last week, this is what producer Will decided was the bit that encapsulates my work.
Beautiful.
Imagine my disappointment, man.
That's me.
Is that when Sarah Millican popped in, yeah?
Would she be flattered by that impression? I don't think so.
No, sorry, Sarah, if you're listening.
Is she in Australia?
I think she's in Australia at the moment, yeah.
So we can say what we like because they've got no radio there.
That's right. They can't listen to this there.
Stick the wireless in the back of the ute. The old wind-up radio.
You flaming galah.
Well, that's the Geordies and the Australians gone.
Yep.
We will whittle our listenership down to two people who are from Lancaster or Kent by the end of the show. I asked you in the course of conversation about things that you've lent to people that have never been returned, and Jason was poised and ready, and he sent us this.
Hey, John. I know you're speaking about things people have borrowed and never given back. Well, for my 18th birthday, I got given a Soul to Soul Club Classics cassette. I lent it to a work colleague a week after my birthday and never got it back. I'm 53 now and it angers me daily. Cheers, Jason from
Buffett. Oh, I imagine you, John, as the sort of person, if you lent people books or CDs or anything when you were younger, that you would like keep a note in a little book. I bet you even gave them a little ticket.
Well, unfortunately, Angela, you've pretty much got me bang on there. I was a bit tight about lending stuff out, but me, my friends Lee and Sheldon did used to play shops in our bedroom, and Sheldon's job was to manage the library, which was the bookshelf outside, and we did have little library cards and a list of who borrowed what. I ran the post office, Lee ran the shop, which involved pulling my bed out from against the wall and putting some tins from the kitchen cupboard in there, and we all had wives who were pillows that we kissed. Now, ahead of last week's Chinese Grand Prix.
Oh, the picture's in my...
Don't picture it, Angela. Let's all just move on.
Okay.
Last week, you told us about how your husband makes you themed food based on whichever country the race is taking place.
Yes.
Which dish did you have for a race that starts in China at 7 a.m? No need to tell us.
Oh.
Here's your husband.
Oh.
Hi, John. I know there was a lot of chat last week about what a Chinese-themed breakfast would look like for the Grand Prix. It was pork bao buns. Hope that clears things up. Cheers.
That's my husband, that is.
That's your husband.
Hello.
Moving in on your patch. How did
what?
That feel? Pretty good link, that.
No, he didn't sound as good as I do, right? No.
Pork bao buns. I thought, so you kindly sent us a picture when you arrived of the bao buns prepped and ready to be steamed the next morning. And I wondered whether it would be a fusion food and inside would be sausage and beans.
Oh, that would be amazing. But no, he's gone full Chinese. And the next Grand Prix is Japan, so not this weekend, but next weekend. Mm-hmm. And he's already been down to the local Asian supermarket and bought all the stuff for it. I don't know what we're having. I'm not allowed to know till the day. But he's got a spreadsheet.
What a man. And right. Angela, I'd love to hear your views on the changes at Red Bull this week, but unfortunately, I don't care. So if you want to get in touch about anything that the show makes you think of, you can reach out on john@absoluteradio.co.uk. One large piece of unfinished business we should probably get to is when I left you last week, Angela, I made a pretty big deal of the fact that I was going to play full pitch 11-a-side football.
You were very excited about your little kickabout.
Very excited. And my little booties in my bag.
You did.
And my little sockies.
Did you have your shin pads?
I took my shin pads out because I noticed the bigger boys weren't wearing them and I was embarrassed.
And but you kept the box on. That's the important thing.
I kept the box on. I kept the helmet on. I kept the mouth guard in. But I did. I took the shin pads out. You know, it was a week ago.
Yeah.
I was still in quite a lot of physical discomfort.
Well, I did text you afterwards and say, did you win? Yeah. And I think your answer was football won.
Football won, which is the universal way of saying, no, we didn't.
Yeah.
Football was the real winner. The charity, Rocking Horse Children's Charity in Brighton, they made some money. So they
good.
Had
That's
a lovely day.
That's the most important thing, John, isn't it?
I will say this. Well, no, not really. Because I still haven't scored a goal in any of these. I've done a few of these now.
Right.
I just want to score one goal on a big pitch. That's all I want.
What position do you play?
Well, I play right back. Because that's where anyone who knows about football will know that's where you put the worst footballer.
Right, got you.
With the exception of the goalkeeper, but that's a different skill, really.
Yeah.
There's some lovely folks there. Maisie Adam was there. Joe Wilkinson was there.
Oh, lovely people.
Matt Bainton, Kyle Smith-Bynoe. And then there were some retired footballers. Now, I was hoping they'd retired maybe in the 50s. turns out some of them are still playing non-league football. Gentleman by the name of Baz Savage is fitter now than I have ever been.
Right.
And taller and stronger than me. And I thought what they'd do is put some of the people who played professional football and some of the comedians together on each side. And what they controversially decided to do was put all the people who've played football all their lives on one team and all of the clowns on another team and bring in a referee who was under the mistaken view that this was a Champions League final. I knew we were in trouble when we were already 2-0 down after 15 minutes and the referee gave a foul throw against one of our players. I'll tell you, was already too tired to throw the ball properly in. He might as well have gone underarm.
Oh, mate. Did you have to have a word with the ref and go, you know this is for charity, right?
Well, I asked Joe Marler to do that because he's got somewhat more gravitas than I have. He didn't like me. We've met before on the wheel, Joe Marler and I. But you are much like on a roller coaster. You are strapped into your chair on the wheel, so there's a limit to how much you can show your displeasure at another player's dancing. Joe Marler has actual sleeve tattoos,
right?
And what I do when I play a charity football game, because just for a bit of a laugh, because I'm a small man, I buy. Roll-on sleeve tattoos from the internet.
Oh, I was going to ask you about this because I saw you just before the match and then I've seen photos of you at the match and it was like, when did he get that tattoo done? Like, set off.
It looks good, doesn't it?
It looks great, John,
Oh, no, take the gap out. Try say it again. It looks...
What it is, I think, is some people can really carry a tattoo.
Yes, thank you.
It looks like it's a bit heavy for you. That's like you literally can't carry the tattoo.
Well, what happened the last time I did it, I brought a few and I offered them around the change rooms and a few other people took them.
Great.
And that looked really funny. I offered them around this time. Nobody else wanted to wear one.
But you wore yours.
It was too late for me to take mine off then because if I then take it off as well, it looks stupid. So I stuck with mine. But then most of the ex-footballers had actual sleeve tattoos and it looked like I was directly mocking them. I think that really riled them up. So I would say this, it was a lovely sunny day. I had a lovely time and some good money was raised. I don't think I made any friends.
Right. Okay. But you remain dignified. That's the important thing, John, because I've seen a photo.
Well, I've sent you a picture. I did say, did any of the photographers capture me doing something particularly impressive?
Yeah.
Would you like to describe the picture that they sent me?
The only way I could describe it really is I don't think humans are supposed to bend that way. Why were you on your back?
A bigger boy pushed me over.
Yeah.
A bigger boy pushed me over. I didn't get a free kick. So I thought if I carried on rolling for comedic effect, he might give me a free kick for getting a laugh. And he didn't. I'd say I rolled over about 6 or 7 times, which is why it looks like I've been fouled, but there's nobody anywhere near me. And then I realised I was too tired to get up. And then people called me the tortoise for the rest of the game because I got on my back and couldn't get myself back up again. But Yay. It was a lovely day. And thanks to all involved.
John Richardson.
And the John Richardson Show.
So last week we revealed the story of a library book that was returned after 60 years. And I asked if anybody else had similar shame, not knowing whether anything was going to come back. And somebody feels such deep shame that I think they want to talk about it on air. So hello, Steve.
Hi, John Aiden.
Well, more to the point, Steve, how are you?
I'm okay. I'm bearing up under the stress of it all, if I'm honest.
I feel like I'm sat in someone's confessions booth. Like that I'm sort of listening to the priest and confessor here.
How long has it been since your last call to Absolute, Steve?
I can tell you how long it's been since my last trip to a library in Glasgow.
The way you say that makes me think you're not even in Glasgow anymore.
I'm not. No, I live in Surrey now. I haven't lived in Glasgow for probably 35 years. I'm not on the lam.
Is the book still with you?
The book's in front of me as we speak. It is. Yeah.
Oh.
I had to dig it out. And over the years, it's kind of popped up now and again. I liken it to like the barrels that were attached to the shark in Jaws. It just pops up unexpectedly to scare me.
Oh, just to bring back the shame.
What is the book?
It's called Tales from a Fisherman's Log by a fella called Zane Grey,
so many questions. For a start, Steve, when did you borrow it?
I borrowed it 2 weeks before the 14th of April, 1983.
Wow.
It'll be 42 years in a fortnight, basically, or 3 weeks. 42 years in 3 weeks time.
42 years in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So if you don't mind me asking, how old were you when you borrowed it?
I think I was about 14. I was about 14 or 15.
Did you were you thinking of becoming a fisherman?
I think I was just fascinated by all things fishing, and it's a bit of a fishing trip to New Zealand, so I was kind of fascinated by travel and all that kind of stuff at the time.
You haven't become a fisherman?
No. What the problem I have with it really is that I became a police officer in 1993.
I guess it takes one to know one. Was that the...
Right. So are you're in the Surrey Police?
No, no, I was in the Met. I've retired.
Is Steve your real name?
Well, I was thinking about when I was speaking to you, I should maybe get like one of those kind of... either do the interview on helium or get some sort of voice disguise. Because I don't know what powers the book please have, but I think it's gone beyond sort of theft. There was never a permanent... there was never an intention to permanently deprive the owner of it, so I do intend to take it back.
Tell yourself that, mate.
It's kind of like this book. I don't even think I've finished it. You know, I had to dig it out yesterday because it was in the attic. And I worked out that if I read 3 pages every... was it 3 pages every year? I would have finished it by now.
I was a slow reader.
I've been busy.
And you sound like a man who has no intention of sending it back now. It's just yours.
Well, I think there was something in the press, and there was something in the press in Scotland a few years ago saying that the Glasgow councils had almost... it was an amnesty they'd kind of reached with people who'd overborrowed books. So I think I'm in the clear now. I think I'm all right. When I dug the book out, I'll send you a picture of it. But when I dug the book out, there's a picture of Zane Grey on the front of it, and he's an old man sitting writing his journal, sitting writing his logbook. And I suddenly thought, like, back to the advert from the 80s with J.R. Hartley and fly fishing.
Yes.
And I thought, I really hope that Zane Grey didn't spend the last few years of his life kind of scouring the planet for a copy of his book when I had it.
Oh, that could have happened.
I'm looking at him now.
Okay, John's
he passed
Googling
away
him.
In 1939.
Oh, so I think you're safe.
I think you're all good.
Yeah. So 42 years and a fortnight. I think I can take it back. I think next time I go back up, we'll take it in and just see what they say. I think it'd be quite nice to maybe return
it. Would be a cracking,
yeah, you'll be in the local paper
story.
For sure, and then we can talk about you again.
So which is the library, Mulgay, is it?
It's Mulgay, yeah, just to the north of Glasgow, but 7 miles north of Glasgow.
If anyone from there is listening, I've got the culprits. I'm willing to make a citizen's arrest.
I tell you what, I'm going to Glasgow on my tour, so I can just drive by yours, pick it up. I'll take it with me, no problem.
Take it with you. and see if you can keep it for 42 years.
Yeah, why not?
I tell you what, I'm going to let you go, Steve, but I'm on the site now, and actually, I think it looks like a book I might quite enjoy.
it's a great read if you like the outdoors. It's a brilliant read. I would recommend it to anyone.
How do you know, Steve? You haven't read it.
if you can find one, then it's worth a read.
Thanks for getting in touch, Steve.
Cheers, no worries at all.
I can quote now from Zane Grey's Wikipedia page. Grey co-founded the Porpoise Club with his friend Robert to popularise the sport of hunting dolphins and porpoises. I no longer want to read Zane Grey's book.
And if I'm Steve's glad you stole his book, Steve.
Yeah, you can burn that. Yeah. You can stick that on the fire, that one. It's time for I Love You But. We at the John Richardson Show are proud to acknowledge the concept of loving people and that some people believe themselves capable of it. But we make sure that you caveat that with something nasty. And I'm delighted to say this week's dedication comes in from Lisa.
I'd love to give this week's dedication to Jilly. I love you, but please stop laughing when we are supposed to be watching a film and you are sneakily listening to TikTok through your earpods. Love from Lisa, currently in Devon.
I am 100% Team Lisa on this, aren't you?
That's really bold.
To go to the cinema and just be scrolling TikTok.
Oh, you've read cinema into that. I read just on the couch at home.
Oh, okay, yeah. I just assume they're in the cinema. You're right, they probably are on the couch at home. But even then, you know, be in the moment with your friend.
Yeah, I think it's very, very cheeky. I don't mind it, though. I think it's so rude, it's almost funny. it's such a slap in. Oh, yeah, stick your favourite programme on, mate. What? No, yeah, stick it on, mate. I'll pick tomorrow night. Anyway, Jilly, this one's for you. If that's made you want to slam and love someone at the same time, then you can get in touch. John at absoluteradio.co.uk for your I Love You Butts.
John Richardson
and the John Richardson Show. John, son of Richard.
John Richardson.
This is the John Richardson Show.
So it's that time of the week when we ask you to get in touch if you've done something that you feel smug about so that I can be mean about it to cover the fact that I achieve very little in my life and I'm a nasty little troll. And I'm pleased to say, on that note, I am joined on the line by, hopefully, Steve. Good morning, Steve.
Hi, Steve.
Good morning, John. Good morning, Angela.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good. I'm picking up on an accent I like already. Now, what it says on my piece of paper here, Steve, is Steve, Employee of the Month. I'm guessing there's more to it than that, but I'm primed and ready. Tell us why you're smug.
Well, the best thing about it is that I've been awarded Employee of the Month by a company that I don't even work for.
Oh, wow. Loving it already.
That's a slam for all their existing employees.
Imagine that person at that company who was like, this month is my month. I've worked really hard. My sales figures are really high. Yeah. It's going to be me this
targets.
Month.
What is the company in question, Steve, that you are the Employee of the Month for?
It's the White Rose Shopping Centre in Leeds.
I know it well. And how did you come to be their unemployed Employee of the Month?
Well, every week I go to the cinema and every week I walk past a McDonald's sign on their seating area that's got bits missing from the inside of the letters. So there's been a capital D in McDonald's and also an O in a separate sign for the same thing. And it's been missing the middle bit. So I decided that eventually I'd get around to doing it. So I took a picture of it and then recreated the graphics, then cut it out on a piece of plastic and went and stuck it on with some double-sided tape. So I then put that onto Facebook and I thought, oh, that'll be just like ignored in no time. But on the Dull Men's group on Facebook, it kind of exploded. But then after that, within a couple of days, somebody had removed it because they knew it was only just stuck on with double-sided tape. Aww. So I thought, OK, then, if you're going to be like that, I'll over-engineer it. So I went into a 3D application, designed it so it would be a back plate and a front plate, and then also did it for the missing O, because I hadn't been aware of that one before. So then I went along, and by this time, the White Rose Shopping Centre were aware of the first effort that I'd made. So they made me employee of the month in a joking way. But then when I went the second time to do the second fix, because they were aware of it, I got their permission and got a security guard to watch over me, because it was just last Sunday when it was really busy and I didn't want people to think I was vandalising the place. So somebody was watching over me as I was screwing on these back plates and then gluing on the face plates. It was quite bizarre.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm really conflicted.
You conflicted?
Yeah, I am. I'm trying to think what the opposite of vandalising is. Maybe there's a trend coming for dull mandalising.
Dull mandalising.
There's been a bit of graffiti correction, but I'm not aware of anyone sort of sneaking into shopping centres to correct errors in the past.
What is your day job, Steve, just out of interest?
I've got an unremarkable phone-based job.
For a very remarkable man, I don't think you can be in the Dull Men's Club anymore.
Well, I just have to say that this is the mere scratching of the surface for the other weird things that I do. I've even made a website out of all the other stuff that I do.
Oh, my goodness.
OK, I'll be honest with you, Steve. Now I'm even more conflicted. The last thing I want is to be embroiled in a scandal. They're all above board, these things, aren't they, Steve? Yeah?
Mostly. There's a huge range of stuff. I've made pub maps for the for all of Yorkshire in the tube style. I think you probably like that. I've done it beyond Yorkshire as well. And that's not mine, but I would argue mine might be better.
Map off.
I don't mind it. I don't mind a war between people who make maps of pubs in the tube style.
I've made a suit of over 330 toys that are hot glued onto it.
I'm a little bit frightened of you, Steve.
Just a little question. Are you married?
Of course not.
I'm quite sad that I am right now.
Yeah, do you know, the only concern I have is that you've done it for McDonald's, because I think you are clearly, you're a skilled man, you're a passionate man.
I didn't do it for McDonald's. I did it for me because it mildly irritated me every time I went past it. And it doesn't even belong to McDonald's. It belongs to the shopping centre. And McDonald's weren't even aware of it. And even the manager, when she was tagged in a post, said she literally didn't care. So it wasn't for McDonald's.
You did it for the people of Leeds, didn't you, Steve?
I mostly did it for my own self-satisfaction, really.
All right, mate. I'm starting to see why you're single.
Well, it is one of those for me that I'm going to allow you to feel smug in that, because I think the defence that you've done it just for yourself means I don't really have to do anything. If you've posted it on a group for dull men, if even the manager of the store in question couldn't be bothered to reply to the fact you've done it, it shows that there is really no wider reach of what you've done other than the fact that you feel good about it. And I'm not going to take that away from you. So, Angela?
I'm in full agreement. I think, Steve, you've every right to be smug.
And may I say, in front of our entire production team and Angela and everyone, you are now Absolute Radio's Employee of the Month.
Wonderful.
Will's had a nightmare this morning. He's on the verge of getting sacked, to be honest.
Yeah, Will's already broken a microphone.
Jeff's got every right to be disappointed. Charlie's not even here, so I think it's an open and shut case. Are you a football fan, dare I ask?
Oh, well, the thing is, John, I loathe all sport.
Okay. Oh, God, if I'd met you 12 years ago, Steve.
I tell you, if you're a fastidious man who likes details to be cleaned up, there's probably too much work for you to do at Ellen Road, to be honest. So it's a good job you're not into sport. You'd never leave the ground. The toilets alone, man. You'd be there the rest of your life. But I hope to bump into you around the White Rose for a film. Bring your plastic thing, did you have to buy like a 3D printer or anything? Do you have the facility to make plastic shapes at home?
I have that already for various other crazy projects.
So intrigued.
Look forward to hearing more about the crazy projects. And now I'm seeing a picture of you with your employee of the month. That's a smashing jacket you've got on. I think you have every right to feel smug, Steve, and it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you.
Cheers, John.
I tell you what, Angela.
Yeah.
I'm looking at this tube-style pub map he's made.
It's amazing, isn't it? It's so detailed.
It's exceptional. It is better than the one I've got of the Lake District.
Oh, are you going to get one?
I think I want one, yeah, because it's got the river running through it. It's got a lot more pubs on it, I'll say that. It's very detailed.
He's got a lot of time on his hands, hasn't he?
He has. But I've got time on my hands and I still can't do stuff like this.
Yeah, so, it's impressive.
There's a happy medium, isn't there?
There is.
It's an impressive bit of thing, and he's got every right to be smug, and that's why I didn't bring him down. The bad news for you is that means I've got a lot of pent-up hatred inside me.
Oh, good. I'm looking forward to that.
The problem I also have with you, you've got every right to be smug because I hosted a charity event this week for Bright Young Dreams, which is a campaign that runs alongside the Sheffield Children's. You were my opening act.
You
were the first one out there. You had to follow the hosting of a man who has not hosted a comedy event for some time. And boy, did that show.
You did a great job. Stop putting yourself down. You know you were great. You're always great.
Hobbled onto the stage like a 95-year-old man because of his football, made some inappropriate references for a charity event, and then bailed himself out by bringing you in. Do you know what? You're so good, Angela. One of your routines was referenced twice to the next day by members of the charity. Yeah, your routine about kids not knowing how to be bored.
Oh, that's nice.
Both funny and has informed the way that the charity speaks to kids.
Well, you know, I like to make a difference for my comedy, John.
Oh, I make a difference.
I couldn't say that with a straight face.
I make a difference, but it's not a positive one. So let me just say, whatever you feel smug about, however mean I am, in real life, thank you.
Oh, thanks, John. My smug moment this week is very low-key smug, but I've got a thing about dungarees at the moment, but the dungarees I like are quite expensive. But I found a pair this week on Vinted. And they were orange as well, because as my husband put it, I'm currently in my orange era. I'm wearing a lot of orange clothes. And I found a pair of orange cord dungarees, the style that I like, in my size, on Vinted, for a tenner. Thank you.
You were wearing a dungaree on Monday, were you?
I was wearing a dungaree on Monday, yeah. Somebody told me the other day, a young person said, because I do dress... You know, I like comfortable clothes, but that are colourful. And somebody described my look the other day as toddlercore. Which I thought, I was like, I quite like that.
Well, do you know what? I have an issue with the romper suit for exactly that reason. It's become a fashionable thing to wear.
Yeah.
But I think it is just... It's a cross between toddler clothes and a onesie, is what it is.
Yeah, it's
and
great.
I don't like to see them worn out of the house.
Why not? So it's comfortable until, you need a wee.
I'm
going to invent a jumpsuit onesie with a little zip underneath and I will make a fortune. Can I copyright that? You've gone very quiet, John, like you can't say anything to that.
Well, I just had to check the time. And I can't say the things I want to say.
Fair enough.
So
we'll chat later.
I will look forward to seeing the designs. I don't think I need to do too much about you being smug that you've bought some dungarees for a tenner. I bought years ago a pair of... If you're in your dungaree phase, I've gone back into my cargo pant phase.
Oh, nice.
I've got a pair of cargo pant shorts that I've had for 27 or 8 years that I bought in a charity shop. And when I got home, I bought them for £2 and there was a £20 note in the pocket and
no.
I did not take it back. Kept that money that had been dry cleaned and ironed.
So you were paid to wear those shorts for 20 years?
I got paid to wear a dead man's shorts and I'll do it again. You've lived it this week. You've done charity stuff. You've got a good marriage to a good man. You've bought charity clothes, you've recycled, you've saved the planet, and you just quietly happy with what you've done.
Yeah.
I slightly smug this week because it was my daughter's parents' evening this week.
Oh, because that reflects on the parents, doesn't it?
Well, that's it, yeah. It's basically, yeah. That's how I read it. How have I done?
Yeah, quite.
Had a look through the books. She got slightly in trouble for saying that maths was boring in front of her teacher. But it made me think about, because primary school parents' evening is all right, isn't it, really? I think. It's when you get to high school, that's when the grudges kick in. That's when you get the sentences you never forget.
Yeah. I had a headmaster once describe me on a report as being one of the, was it? I've never met such an intelligent child with such little common sense, which is quite nice.
Wow!
I have got a parents' evening story. I'm gonna tell you it, John.
Go on.
So my dad was a type 1 diabetic. So, and he used hypodermic needles to inject himself with insulin every day, right? And my dad used to say that going to my parents' evenings was really boring because I was a good girl, and my dad, you know, was quite a rebel at school and stuff. And so he went, when I was 14, went to my parents' evening, presented the teacher with one of his hypodermic needles and told her that he'd found it in my bag and didn't know what to do. True story. And the, to put it in context, John, I was a very good girl at school, like never got told off. I was such a good girl. And the next morning I got called in with my form tutor and head of year and had to explain that that was my dad's idea of a joke. Yeah.
I mean, I don't think you had to put it into context. I think it works wonderfully as it is. What an amazing thing to do. How old are you at this point?
14.
Wowee.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So I've got a few years before I need to hit that gap. I'm going to use that. That is absolutely exceptional work. And I tell you what, if you've ever had to humiliate your child to that extent at a parents' evening, I really want to know about it. John at absoluteradio.co.uk.
Bringing some showbiz sparkle to an otherwise ordinary Saturday.
The John Richardson Show.
Offend the people who use the word literally when they literally meant something else. They're like a really pathetic version of the FBI.
Last week on The Literal Police, we banged up TV presenter Lorne Spicer and recruited Dave Gorman, who is now one of our community support officers.
Does he know he's been recruited?
Absolutely not.
Great, that's how it should
be. To my knowledge, anyway. He hasn't been in touch. Unlike many of you, we've had a lot of interactions this week, for which we are grateful. We start with an offence on a show that I know, Angela, you are a big fan of. You're a champion of this show.
I thought you were going to get me then. For a minute, I thought, oh, no, it's me. But it's
not.
You
did say literally off air earlier. Now, my ears were ready and pricked, but you used it correctly.
I used it correctly. We're not banning the word literally, are we?
Well, I did watch a BBC News report last week and somebody used it correctly, but they used it correctly three times in less than a minute. And
that's,
I thought, is there something to be said for overuse?
It has to be sparse. It's like swearing. Only use it when it's necessary, otherwise it loses its power.
Too right, Angela, old friend. Now, Robin has been in touch to tell us about an offence, and here it is.
Hi, John and gang. I have a literal offence to report. We were watching Richard Osman's House of Games on Tuesday, and 2 minutes into the episode, Fern Britton says she was smashed, literally. She obviously wasn't literally smashed, and Richard Osman doesn't even pull her up on it. We think she needs to be judged for her crime. Thanks, Robin Emma.
I can see you shaking your head, Angela.
I'm disappointed in Osman, if I'm honest.
Yeah, do you know, that's how I felt.
You know,
maybe he did pick her up and they edited it out.
Maybe, because he's one of us, I think, Osman. And, I thought he would have more care, even if it was edited out.
Let's see if there's a little gap, or let's see if we can pick up on anything that might have been taken out. Here's Fern on House of Games.
Are you saying that Fern has changed in these seats?
Well, you're hiding behind Steve Pemberton here a little bit. I think Fern knows what
she's
doing.
Three other people. I was smashed, literally.
Well.
Yeah, and yet she smashed all of you. So I don't know. Where do we...
What does that say?
I will forgive Fern Britton if she was drunk.
Do you think that's what she's saying there?
If I was smashed, literally, if she means smashed as in drunk and she was intoxicated, then that is okay. But if she means smashed as in destroyed, then no.
I think they're referencing, I assume, the game that's just taken place in which she has lost heavily. So I would say... You would say, I am smashed in that situation. If that was your excuse, you'd get to the end of the show and you'd say, well, here's the joke on you. I've been drunk this whole time.
Yes.
And I think Richard's response would have been slightly different. So
yes.
I think Fern's going to jail.
Yep. I was just offering a defence.
Yeah, appreciate it. She's in jail. Richard, a warning. And I think a little bit of extra time there because Steve Pemberton was mentioned. And if you're going to do that sort of thing around National Treasure Steve Pemberton, I'm not going to stand for it. So a little bit of extra time on the sentence there for influencing a great man
Fair
negatively.
Enough.
Now, I'm sad to say that's not all from the Literal Police this week. Martin has also been in touch.
Hi, John. I'd like to make a report to the Literal Police. Whilst watching Gladiators with my 11-year-old daughter at the weekend, one of the defeated gladiators explained that she couldn't catch the contender because she literally flew up the wall. John, I watched it. She didn't. She climbed as per the well-established rules. Obviously, I pointed this out to my daughter and proceeded to explain the meaning and nuances of the term literal and literally. She was suitably educated, if not entertained. Unfortunately, we missed the end of the show as a result. My daughter was gutted. Not literally, of course. For the record, I am happy to stand as witness if necessary. Thanks, Martin and Eliza in Beverley, East Yorkshire.
Oh, I like Martin.
That's a flawless message, that, isn't it?
I like Martin. And do you know what? He's like the anti-Lord Reith, because he wants to educate but not entertain. That's
absolutely
beautiful.
Quite right. I've had many a tour where that has been the ethos.
hey, John, when you're not laughing, you're learning.
Yeah. I've taught a lot of people a lot of stuff about how they could better spend their money and time on a Friday evening. We're going to hear the offence. I'll tell you now, after that voice note, this is an open shut case, whatever happens. But here's what was said.
Disappointing wall for both Sabre and Dynamite, although I have to say Dynamite, you sort of caught her ankle a couple of times, just couldn't quite grab her.
Yeah, she got faster as we got higher, and I thought I had her, like, twice, but she literally just flew away.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, even worse, it's not that she flew up the wall, she literally flew away. She did not.
It's a case closed, and there was a little pause as well that really hurt me, because do you know what I heard there? I heard someone who doesn't want to offend. There was a little sigh. She said she literally, and she thought, oh, Richardson and Barnes are going to have me here.
Yeah.
You could hear it.
But she was already halfway down the street with the stolen goods, you know? She couldn't, there was nothing she could do about it at that point.
Well, there's kids watching. There's got to be some hyperbole. There was a little exercise. She thought, I can't say she literally just then climbed a little bit higher using the rules of the game.
No.
I feel for you, Dynamite, but I'm afraid.
John rules his rules.
Yeah. If you spot a literal offence and the opportunity to educate but not entertain the youth of the world, then Literal Police Hotline, john@absoluteradio.co.uk.
Saturday mornings never sounded so John Richardson.
This is the John Richardson Show with John Richardson.
You're listening to John Richardson and Angela Barnes on Absolute Radio. That was the news that was in the news. Now it's time for the news that wasn't in the news that could or perhaps should have been in the news. Angela, what would you tell people if you had the choice, if you had that platform?
Well, I found this story, John. I'm not a parent, as you know, so you might relate to this slightly more than I do. But apparently, parents are missing their clubbing days.
Oh,
do you miss your clubbing days, John?
Every day, man.
I can see. Is that why you're wearing glow sticks now?
Got my whistle and my glow stick and my little vest on, and nobody cares.
Apparently, it says here that 60% of parents confess they miss their late night escapades at the club before they had kids. 60% of parents. I don't believe that. I don't think that many people actually enjoy clubbing. It's something you do until you find a partner, and then you are thankful you can stop doing it.
I met someone recently who has kids, sort of grown-up kids, and still goes clubbing with their partner. I was slightly jealous because it is, I think, any sort of young hobby that you carry on as you grow older suggests a sort of young spirit. And they go to like actual little say, oh, you know, the abandoned co-op, there's going to be a rave there this weekend and a disc jockey will come. A disc jockey with their iPod Nano and plug it in. If you're into that kind of thing and you're still doing it, I think that's probably quite a good sign. I hated it at the time.
Yeah.
I hated it when I thought about it a few years after, and I hate the memory of it now. I don't think I've ever, 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 ever had a good time in a nightclub.
Same.
Ever. Not even for 5 minutes.
We're the wrong people to discuss this because I don't think you and I ever had a young spirit. That's the one thing we've got in common. I think I was always a 48-year-old woman, and that's why I'm the happiest now I've ever been. You're also a 48-year-old woman.
I think I've always been a 48-year-old woman.
And you know, I'm finally where I was meant to be.
I think if you enjoy being young, that's like finishing an exam too early and then realising there was a page.
So where have you got to go from that? If you enjoy that, but if you don't enjoy it, you've got something to look forward to. You're like, being old is going to be lovely. And I feel I'm so much happier than those people who still wish they were 18.
Yeah, it feels like what we've done there is sort of almost turned it into smugness, that we've taken a news report about people still indulging in their youthful hobbies and said, actually, best thing you can do is not enjoy your youth. I mean, get in touch if you miss clubbing. I feel like our audience probably doesn't.
I feel like they're probably on our team. Because if they weren't on our team, they're not awake yet, John. They only got in a couple of hours ago.
Yeah, that's true, actually. I shared a clip this week of a moment on Bullseye. The problem with the old Bullseyes of the 1980s, so the man he's interviewing, I'd say he looks about 40. He's probably about 22 because it was the 1980s.
Young people looked old in the 80s.
It's one of the most perfect bits of telly I've ever seen. And Jim is interviewing this young man and he says, I believe you like dancing, don't you? And he says, yeah, I do like dancing, Jim, yeah, actually. He goes, and what sort of dancing is it you do? He goes, well, I suppose it's boogieing. Really? I suppose it's boogieing. And Jim says, oh, like nightclub dancing. And he says, yeah. And then he pulls a beautifully plaited rat tail from behind.
Oh, the rat tails!
And he says, oh, you've got the hair, you see. And Jim just looks at him for, it's only about 3 or 4 seconds, but it feels like a week. And he says, yeah, it's very good, that. It's an absolutely exceptional piece of telly.
What happened to the rat tail? Because that's the mullet made a comeback, but the rat tail, because for anyone like under 40, it's like a short haircut for the front, just looks like a normal short haircut, and then a really long bit of hair that's plaited all the way down the back. It's called a rat tail. Will's looking at me like he doesn't believe me.
Oh,
and
Will,
it looks
right.
Ridiculous.
I'm going to show you a rat tail. So we're discussing the news that wasn't in the news that should have been the news. And AI want to talk about AI, Angela.
AI, do too.
AI. We should have a routine about phoning EE and just communicating vowels. AI, EE, O, A, U. we are sadly at risk. I've got an article here which is... 65 jobs with the lowest risk of automation. And some of these are predicted to have a 0% chance of being replaced by AI. And we are slightly responsible here because this show endorses AI. We have AI theme tunes.
We all had
a cracking good laugh, didn't we, the other week?
Yeah.
Putting hardworking bands out of business.
Mm-hmm.
But we are part of the problem.
Yeah, we are.
So do you want to know some of the jobs? And I tell you what, let me just tell you, first of all, there are 65 jobs here with low risk of automation, not replacing them. Comedians are not on the list.
So comedians could be replaced by AI?
We could be replaced by AI. There is a new prototype called a Jimmy Carr, which I think is, so they say, already getting work.
Wow.
Number one, nurse practitioners.
Well, that's encouraging.
They're all... obviously, jobs that focus around care and people, which is a relief.
I don't know, because number two is choreographer. And I don't know about that. I'm pretty sure you could do that on Zoom.
It's more that I would hope. This is about projected growth by 2031. I'd like to see dance eradicated by then.
Yeah, should be, shouldn't it?
That's no offence to the choreographers, but it's not that AI should replace that. I just think by then we'll have learned to just walk normally and stand still while we listen to music. And I think that's a better place for us all to be.
But it's not advancing the species, is it, evolutionarily speaking? So
no, it's taking us backwards.
I think so.
Taking us backwards, isn't it? Arrogant walking, as I described it on Room 101.
Just get literally where you need backwards to go. If you're a woman on Strictly.
Oh, yes, nice. Oh, go on, yeah, go on, go on. Name and shame.
Hey.
Physicians, mental health counsellors, nursing instructors, coaches and scouts, athletic trainers, physical therapists, orthotists and prosthetists, occupational therapists, marriage and family therapists. Again, can't see marriage still being around in 2031. Yeah. Well, I worked that out. Get rid of marriage, get rid of dance. What's the worst thing that ever happens on the planet? The first dance at a wedding. It's a combination of everything that's wrong with society.
Can you guess what my first dance at my wedding was to, John? I'll give you three guesses for the song.
Oh, I think it was a TV theme tune.
Not quite, but you're not a million miles off.
From the 1980s?
Yep. Might be 70s, actually. Might be late 70s.
Flashdance?
70s. Nope.
Go on, tell me.
Rainbow Connection by Kermit the Frog. Oh, that's funny, because Jeff had a little guess, and he guessed Muppets Mana Mana, so not far off.
Oh, that's very close.
Yeah, very, that's very, very close. Close. There you go.
And you're still together, so good luck with that.
Hey!
art therapist, music therapist, social workers. I guess we just need to build a society where we sort of encourage and remunerate caregiving. And
yeah,
then
wouldn't
right,
that be
right?
nice? Yes, it's and almost the like news, they're the jobs that deserve higher remuneration.
It'd be a funny old world to live in where robots did all the stuff we don't actually want to do and we just cared for each other and got rewarded for it. What a nauseating sentence that was. I seem to remember saying last week, I'm just going to have to take myself away and have a word with myself. And that's a yellow card for me. There is good news if you don't want to look after people. Top 20 jobs that have a 0% chance of being replaced by AI. Soil scientist. So I guess it's people or dirt. You decide. Although people can also be riddled with worms.
John Richardson.
And the John Richardson Show.
From 2 o'clock this afternoon, Fordy and Dyson will be back with rock and roll football. Last week, international break. Angela, you predicted an 8-goal thriller between Liechtenstein and North Macedonia. And
did
a Barnsley win at home to Cambridge. Yeah. Neither of which were correct. You did get something right last week.
Did I?
You said that it would be a draw between Chesterfield and Harrogate.
Get
and that the new Saints would beat Cardiff Met Uni.
Amazing.
Scorelines were way out. However...
Oh, but, you know, I'm getting closer.
This week it's FA Cup quarterfinals week, as I'm sure you know.
Of course.
What that does mean is that the 3 o'clock games are from the Championship. So it's a chance for you to really hurt my feelings when I ask you what you think the score will be between Leeds United and Swansea City.
I want you to remember, John, that this isn't me, this is the system.
Oh, here we go.
Okay?
Don't,
that's
do,
all
no,
I'm saying.
Because we didn't go into the international break well. The fans are melting down anyway. Don't you be part of the problem, Angela.
I'm not the problem. The system is the problem.
Right? Oh, you made the system Angela.
I did make the system, but I didn't know this was going to be the outcome of the system, but it is. So I'm sorry, John, but it is Leeds 1, Swansea 2. I'm sorry.
Oh, my God. God, if that's right, I'm going to make you listen to all the podcasts that I'm going to have to listen to this week to get over that. Burnley versus Bristol City.
3-1 to Burnley.
No, what's wrong with you?
It's the
system.
You
want me to cry?
It's the system.
Sunderland versus Millwall.
4-4.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. Sunderland are out of it anyway, I think. No offence. I would not. Yes, you are. Middlesbrough. Versus Oxford.
Middlesbrough are going to win 6-3.
Oof, yeah. Inconceivable.
Got an extra little fixture
game
here.
Being put on here. Yeah,
I don't know how this snuck in, but yeah. This is Avely Torquay. Didn't even know Torquay had a football team, did you, John? Anyway.
No, I've never heard of him.
No. It's Avely 2, Torquay 3.
Oh, okay.
Will seems happy about that. I don't know why.
Well, I tell you what, whatever the system is this week, this is the first time you haven't had a number above 6. So you've usually got an 8 or a 10 knocking about there.
So I
have
might,
you got a
this,
clue for how I can work it out?
It's a wordy one, John.
A wordy one?
It's a wordy one.
Okay, well, let's hope it turns out to be nonsense, because I tell you now, and I'm not joking, if those scores are right, I'm going to have a really, really bad weekend, and I'm going to be very upset for a number of days.
It's been really nice being here at Absolute. Had a good time and a good innings. Thank you. Oh, John, I don't know how to tell you this.
Yeah.
I've made a little mistake with the system.
Yes, you have.
It's not Leeds 1, Swansea 2. It's Leeds 1, Swansea 3.
Well, I mean, that's double bad news because Ada wants it to be 3-1. And while you were saying that, producer Jeff said, oh, I've got it.
You've worked out my system.
So I think he's beaten the system.
No, he thinks he's got it, but he hasn't.
I don't think I'm going to get there. You said you had fun doing it.
I did.
That put me right off. I'm not a fan of fun. Are you close, Jeff?
No.
I don't know. He's not.
No.
He's not. Do you want me to tell you the system? Shall I reveal the system now?
Yeah, once I saw, I thought it was syllables just off the first one, but that's far too straightforward for you.
No. Oh, no.
Go on,
it's going to be more complicated than that. Okay, what it is, it's words within the word, but with the letters together and in the same order. So let me explain. In Leeds, you've got the word Lee, L-E-E, is the only Scrabble accepted. I used the Scrabble dictionary.
To check. I did have a think about
words
that.
In it. And Swansea has Swan, C and Wan is the one I'd missed, W-A-N. So see, in Burnley, you've got Burn, you've got Earn and you've got Lee, L-E-Y is a word. In Bristol City, you've just got City. That's all you got. Sunderland, though, you've got sun, under, and land. See what I've done?
Yeah, I really like it.
It's fun. I thought you'd like it, even though I've come up with that lead score.
Mill, ill, wall, and all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you get the six in Middlesbrough?
Middle.
Yeah.
Les.
Nope.
Rough.
Rough, yeah.
Broth.
Nope.
Brow.
Nope.
Brew.
Nope, not a word.
go on.
Okay, so you've got middle, middles, bro is a Scrabble accepted word.
Oh, well, that's the problem.
Rough is a Scrabble accepted word. And UGH is a Scrabble accepted word.
It's not.
It is. I checked. And mid is a Scrabble accepted word.
I'll give you mid, but UGH, that is why I end up flipping Scrabble boards over. It's exactly the sort of point near the end of the game. Someone will stick that and I just think, I tell you what, you've won Scrabble.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, John, I've just realised something.
You spotted another one, have you?
Yeah, and it's in Swansea. Because I've missed the plural of swans.
Oh, God.
So it's actually 4-1 to Swansea against Leeds.
Well,
sorry,
the
John.
Only comfort I'll take from this is that you've never been even close to being right about Swansea. Find
what
out if she's
this
right.
Is the week?
2 o'clock, if you want to find out the true extent to the miserable weekend I'll have for you in Dyson Rock and Roll Football.
It's very difficult to say the John Richardson Show. Can you say the John Richardson Show?
This is the John Richardson Show.
So, that's it for this week's show. It's John Richardson and Angela Barnes. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me again, John. It's always a joy.
Are you back out on the road again this week?
I am. I will be in, what day is it? Saturday. So, I will be in Horsham tonight.
Oh, lovely.
Which is going to be lovely because it's a lovely theatre and it's nearly sold out, which is great. But also, crucially, it's a half-hour drive from where I live. So,
yeah, I was going to say
beautiful.
It's near you, that. Sold out now as well. Once people listening in the Horsham area find out there's a few seats left, they'll be straight down there.
I hope so.
I'm not just joking as well. Angela absolutely smashed the gig on Monday. I was very grateful for you being there.
Oh,
when you're
thanks,
on tour
mate.
And you should have been at home. Sensational.
I had a lovely time. And the sweets that we were given were delicious.
Oh, yeah, we did get some sweets, didn't we?
Sweets.
Did you take a teddy bear as well?
I did take a teddy bear.
A little Theo? Do you have an idea of what you'd like to name the podcast for those who weren't able to listen to the full show live today?
I do, John. I think we'll just call it Leeds 1, Swansea 4, no?
Oh, mate. Well, do you know what, Angela? Do you know what? Do you know what, mate?
I do feel bad because you just said something so nice to me and then I do that.
Well, do you know what? I am going to do that. Out of my absolute faith that is not going to happen.
Okay.
And Daniel and the boys, after a slightly rocky...
Don't cry,
so
mate.
Much.
It's going to be all right.
I live in the same city as the other team that might go up if we don't, and I just can't speak to how many consequences it has for me.
John.
People singing that horrible song about Leeds. I'm going to name the podcast Leeds 1, Swansea 4. And I mean that as an act of defiance because I think more likely it's going to be Leeds 4, Swansea 1. So the podcast is available wherever you get your podcasts. As we wrap up the show, let me remind you of a voice note that we started the show with from earlier today. Here it is.
Hey, John. I know you're speaking about things people have borrowed and never given back. Well, for my 18th birthday, I got given a Soul to Soul Club Classics cassette. I lent it to a work colleague a week after my birthday and never got it back. I'm 53 now and it angers me daily. Cheers, Jason from Duffield.
Poor old Jason, love a bit of Soul to Soul.
Yes, or Soul 11 Soul, as somebody in the studio called them.
No, I wonder who that could be, the one who's under 40.
I've got great news for Jason from Duffield.
Have you?
You say poor Jason from Duffield, no longer. The absolute radio gods have shone down and purchased a copy of the Soul to Soul album that he's missing. If you're still listening, Jason, and you want to get in touch, john@absoluteradio.co.uk, it would be our pleasure to right that wrong and send you the album to listen to in full at your leisure.
There's going to be people next week ringing in, I lost the diamond ring.
That is not. But I did have a lovely conversation with my daughter this week about how you can turn human ashes into things that look like diamonds,
yes,
and you can be a piece of jewellery. And we had a lovely old chat about death.
Lovely.
Yeah, she told me that she wanted to be fed to hungry lions if she dies. Lovely bit of chat. Anyway, thank you so much for listening this week. Thank you, Will and Jeff and Angela. Thank you to Leeds United for the incoming victory. Have a fantastic week. Thanks for listening. It's John Richardson saying toodle pip.
John Richardson.
And the John Richardson Show.
There we go. That was this week's podcast. If it made you want to get in touch, you can do so. John at absoluteradio.co.uk.
You've already been replaced by AI.
I have become an AI comedian. The real John Richardson is face down in the dirt counting bacteria. Have a lovely time in your lives. Mm-hmm. I've gone all sincere. I just want to say, you know, we do have to care for each other.
Oh, God, he's doing it again.
Whether society decides to remunerate us for that or not, we shouldn't do it for the fear of AI. What do we have if not each other? So just get out there, care for each other, be in love, and I will be back soon to be rude to people who've achieved something on a Saturday morning, have people arrested for stealing library books, and be an absolute angry little ant about excited people who misuse the term literally. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.